Welcome to Believe. My name is Nicholas Upchurch. Now, here's a special clip from our show in the category of world news.
So let me ask you this. Rob, you're a Freemason. Do you think Freemasons are misunderstood?
No, not necessarily. I think there's a lot of bogus information out there about it. That I know for a fact. But I don't think it's. I think it can be misunderstood.
Sure.
Like I said, you know, there's tons of bad information out there. And one of my motivations of writing my first book was to kind of get into some of the stuff that was true and not true about it, because there was a Masonic conspiracy. Certainly there have been very powerful Freemasons, but by and large, it really doesn't exist anymore. You know, the Illuminati was real. I mean, I get into that in the Royal Arch of Enoch book. I don't know if I guess it can be misunderstood. Religions can be misunderstood. A lot of things can be misunderstood. But, you know, one of the motivations for writing my first book was to kind of, you know, maybe let people have a better understanding of it. But, yeah, I mean, there's some, you know, good information out there about it, and there's some bad information out there about it. You can get both sides of it.
Is good and what's not good in terms of what is out there, just so you can present?
There's tons. I mean, the bad is, oh, my goodness gracious. I mean, you'll hear, you know, Albert Pike invented the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry.
He was a Satanist, right? That guy?
Well, that's also nonsense.
Okay. He wasn't. Is that? Just so some people might not even know who that is.
Well, Albert Pike was he was a Northerner. He fought during the Confederacy during the Civil War, and he is often credited, and I don't know why, as founding the Scottish Rite. I don't know why that is. The Scottish Rite was part of the high degree bodies of Freemasonry. The Scottish Rite was founded in May of 1801 by a man named Frederick Doucho. Albert Pike wasn't even born. He wasn't even born 8 years later. Why people, you know, still want to harp that Albert Pike had something to do with the founding of the Scottish Rite is beyond me.
Why would it be bad that he was involved?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Why would it be bad that he was involved? Like, why would people even care to begin with on that?
Oh, there's just so much bad information out there on him. He is often credited as being in the Illuminati.
Okay.
That's nonsense. That he wrote a letter to Giuseppe Manzini predicting three world wars. That's total BS. That's fiction. He is often credited with founding the Ku Klux Klan. That's also BS. There's just a lot of nonsense surrounding Albert Pike that is completely false. And this isn't me talking sequestered information. I mean, you know, the Scottish Rite was founded in 1801. This was like 7 or 8 years before Pike was even born. The Ku Klux Klan was founded by five ex-Confederate generals in Pulaski, Tennessee. I mean, Pike was never there. And there's just, you know, the whole the World War III letter is made up. It was made up by a guy named William Guy Carr. It doesn't exist. There's just tons of bad information about Pike out there. And even in the American context, he's not even one of the most famous ritualists within Freemasonry. That would be a title that probably belongs to Thomas Smith Webb, that most people probably have never even heard of before. But when it comes to American Freemasonry, I mean, he is just critical to understanding how Masonry in America developed somewhat differently than in other places, such as like in England, on the continent of Europe. But again, you'll never hear his name mentioned at all.
Well, I have a friend who's a Freemason. He's a great guy. You know, he goes to meetings. I don't know what they do. We hear that the presidents are. You can clear some of this up. You know, we hear that the presidents are Freemasons. I voted for a couple, right? So, I mean, you know, meaning I'm not sure. But that's the thing. I'm not sure. A lot of people hear about secret societies. Of course, JFK gave a great speech that a big problem are secret societies. I don't know. Do you consider Masons or Freemasons to be, you consider that to be a secret society, and why should people not be concerned with Freemasons?
Well, I would call it a society with secrets. It would be a better way for me to describe it. And it's pretty transparent. You can petition a Masonic lodge to join. You can read Masonic literature online. You can have access to Masonic books. You will readily find Masonic books written by Freemasons and non-Freemasons online on Amazon. So, you know, it's pretty transparent. It's influential. It's powerful. But I don't think I've been involved with it for 20 years, and I've never seen any satanic, devil-worshipping, reptilian shapeshifters in my 20 years. I suppose if it's out there, I guess it might be, but I've never I've seen it. With the presidents, I think it's been 14 United States presidents, I want to say, who have been Freemasons. The last one was Gerald R. Ford. We have had none since him.
Really? I've heard that Clinton was, and
false, totally false.
How do we know these things are false, by the way?
Because that's very easy. Because if it was true, the Masonic literature would promote it endlessly as a recruiting tool. So it's very easy to anytime a celebrity or a politician becomes a Freemason, this is promoted all over the place. And believe me, I know, because I get all the Masonic literature. Whenever there's a famous politician or someone, an actor, or someone of note in Masonry, believe you me, you get word of it. The last president that we had who was a Freemason was Gerald R. Ford. Bill Clinton was in DeMolay, I believe. That's the Masonic Boy Scouts, but that's not the Freemasons. Bush 41 and 43 was in Skull and Bones. That's not the Freemasons. Ronald Reagan was an honorary Freemason, but Masons don't really consider that. Barack Obama had no membership, and neither does Donald Trump. Neither did Jimmy Carter. The last president that was a Freemason was Gerald R. Ford. And then before him, you got to go back to Harry Truman.
Got it. So I think some people are concerned because just like maybe our government, which we can send love to, forgive, and everything else. But, you know, we have the military, and they're pretty good people. People stand for them. They salute them no matter what, generally, at games. And, well, now there's other things going on with other issues in the NFL. But, you know, so we have kind of the frontline people, right? And some people might be concerned with this in terms of Freemasonry. And then the idea is that perhaps there are compartmentalized sort of sections above all of this, that maybe there is a sort of, and this isn't a crazy idea. I mean, this, you know, the idea that there is something above the military, which would be our government, and then there are the military, the soldiers, which sort of do what they're told. I mean, that's actually quite out in the open. Why would Freemasonry be any different? I guess the idea is that there's a sort of maybe a front line or people that don't know what's going on, just sort of the average Freemason, and then maybe a sort of upper echelon that could be up to some shenanigans. What do you have to say about that?
That was the way it was. That happened. In the United States, the country was founded upon the principles of Freemasonry. The entire government is a Masonic organization. And what I mean by that is everything in the government from start to finish is basically based upon Freemasonry. The Constitution, the triple division of government, the architecture is all Freemasonic. And in the early days of the country, and this is specifically after Washington died in 1799, there was a secret cabal of Masons running the country behind the scenes. It was the Royal Arch Masons. This is what my first book is about. The guy who ran it, you may have in your travels have heard the term the Colombian Illuminati. This was the American version of the Illuminati. The guy who ran it was a person who has been erased from our history books called DeWitt Clinton. He was the former mayor of New York. He was the former governor of New York. And he was running the country from behind the scenes. So this happened. I don't dispute that. This all became unraveled in the mid-1820s with something called the William Morgan Affair, where this cabal was exposed. Masonry almost went out of business because of it. It survived because of the president of the time, who was Andrew Jackson, refused to give in to anti-Masonry. In fact, the first third political party in the country was called the anti-Masons. So, that should tell you what they were all about. So there was this secret cabal running the country, essentially, behind the scenes. Now, the guys who are doing this, such as DeWitt Clinton, some of the other names involved are Ezra Ames, the Livingston family, some of the other people. Ezra Ames was a biggie. These guys were – what they were doing was, when the country was still in its infancy, these guys were all working with the Federalists, John Adams and the like, but these guys were all Jeffersonian Republicans. And what they were trying to do is they were using the higher degree bodies of Freemasonry to unify the Federalists and the Jeffersonians. That was their motivation. They did not see this as evil, but this was all being done behind closed doors. There was no transparency of this. This was, you know, what you would call, quote unquote, an Illuminati-styled conspiracy. This was blown apart in the 1820s when it was exposed through this incident called the William Morgan Affair. And it literally destroyed Freemasonry in this country. Masonry went from being looked at as a patriotic order to very clandestine. Masonic Grand Lodges closed. I think the state of Vermont closed their doors. Teachers refused to teach children of Freemasonry. Many Masons were forced to renounce the craft, and it went into the Dark Ages, and it survived just because of Andrew Jackson, mainly in part. But one of the main side effects of this was two things. One is Masonry distanced itself from that point on, especially in America, of had any connection to the esoteric, to sort of being a modern-day mystery school. It went from being that to, we just help widows and orphans. We're just a fraternal order who does charity work and does philanthropic deeds. That's it, period, end of story. The other side effect that it had was people persist in believing that it didn't go away. And they look at the architecture now and this, you know, some of the symbolism, and they believe that today this is this evidence of this demonic, overarching grand Masonic theme, where it's really not. It's the guys who were creating the country were using the symbols, the tools, the lessons, the philosophies of Freemasonry to nation build. That's really what it's tantamount to. And it still survives. It still survives to this day. But, you know, like I said, the whole idea of Masons, of this still being around, it just doesn't exist anymore.
Well, it's very interesting. I think a lot of people say things may have been co-opted, right, over time. I mean, we have... From my understanding, the Illuminati came. There was something happening in France, and you know, of course, it meant the Illuminated Ones, and maybe it wasn't so bad. And then maybe something happened, and it sort of got co-opted. We actually have the swastika, which came out of what, India, and it wasn't meant to be. My understanding is it wasn't an evil symbol out of India, and then. You know, we have what happened with that. You know, that got a, you know, the Nazis got a hold of it. So it's interesting. A lot of these things seem to get sort of co-opted, like you're talking about. Maybe even some people say the United States right now with the military-industrial complex. One of those people was Eisenhower. He said that when he left. You know, that was his last speech, President Eisenhower saying, beware of the military-industrial complex. And some people say that's been, the U.S. in a way has been co-opted. And we had Project Paperclip, and we had, of course, the 20,000 or however many thousand former Nazi scientists coming in. But maybe they were good guys. I don't know. But there's a lot of questions about these things, and people do have misconceptions. So let me ask you this. What is good about the Freemasons? Like, yeah, because I agree. If you're just like the Catholic Church, I was raised Catholic. A lot of nonsense happened with the Catholic Church actually quite recently. So you're saying things were in the 1920s, the Freemasons sort of, there was a big change and it sort of became about charity work. But a lot of great people, I think, are Catholics now. But there is still an element. We just had a guy on from Rome. He's been on, you know, written so many books about the nonsense going on now, even today. He reports on it. There was a big story that became mainstream news about a gay orgy. I mean, you know, and to me, I don't know that that matters, but for the Catholic Church, it was a big scandal this summer. And so there is stuff going on all the time with people, everybody. It's just to what degree the nonsense is occurring. But that being said, you're saying that the Freemasons now have changed. What is good about the Freemasons? What should people know about it in terms of what you stand for?
Right. Well, I think it was always positive. But I guess positive could be perceived as a certain point of view.
You're right.
But I believe it's always been positive, a positive force in the world. I mean, for me, my goodness, it definitely helped me understand who I was. I understood the rituals. I understood, you know, that I was going in, and I believe that I came out a better person for it. My books would not exist, but for my membership in Freemasonry. So I view the entire experience as positive. I have talked to people who have started it and dropped out. It wasn't for them. I mean, I can only speak for myself, but I've had nothing but a positive experience with it. I'm proud of my membership. And
what should people know? Why is it good? Because people, I think, are just skeptical of anything that could be. You're right. People lump things together, as you mentioned, you know. So, you know, anything that's sort of secret in any way, people might think is sort of a dark force or a secret.
Just because something's secret doesn't mean it's bad.
You're right. But people, you know what? People get lied to a lot. Would you agree? people get lied to a lot. We're $20 trillion in debt. I mean, there's a lot of nonsense going on. So people, I think, and all of us to some degree.
I think people are gullible, and they want easy solutions for their lives, and they're gullible.
It could be true.
And they want a scapegoat to when something goes wrong in their lives. They want a scapegoat rather than taking responsibility.
You're right about this, but they're also getting lied to a lot.
And they're lying to themselves a lot also.
That could be true. But we have had institutions which lie to people. I mean, we've enslaved people.
People lie to people every day.
That's right. So anything secret, I think, you know, people lump things together. Maybe it's unjust. So aside from you being proud of being in the Freemasons, being a Freemason, I think that's good. And you're right. The definition of positive and negative is very interesting because, you know, if there wasn't any winter, would we appreciate summer? I mean, that's sort of, somebody could debate that all day. What is positive and negative? But let me ask you this. What is good in terms of what society should view with the Freemasons? What's good about it for people?
I believe that it promotes democracy. It promotes egalitarianism. It promotes equality. It teaches you how to walk upright. It teaches you moral principles. It teaches you how to guide your life in a just way. It does philanthropic work. And for me, it was a very positive experience, and I wouldn't trade it in for anything. And my three books would not exist but for my Masonic membership. I can only speak for myself. Sure. And, you know, if someone joins it and doesn't like it, there's nothing I can do about that.
I understand.
But for me, I found its teachings to be very positive. I found its morality to be very positive, and it certainly taught me to be a better person.
If it is so good, and I think it could be, I don't know. I mean, I'm just asking questions, right? But why are there any secrets? I mean, what's the not what the secrets are, but what are the purpose of what's the purpose of the secrecy at all? Because you're right, some things that are secret could possibly not be quote unquote bad. But why are there secrets, do you think?
Well, the secret to it is in each individual Mason. That's really the secret. And each individual Mason will take out of Freemasonry what they put into it. And the secret of Masonry is in each individual Mason's heart. That's really the answer to it. So what I got out of it, someone else may get something else out of it. That's the real secret of it. The rituals in themselves, just as a sort of, you know, to kind of get into what I think you're more asking me about, the rituals definitely encode allegorical meaning that is deeper than what is explained to you in the lodge. But what this does is, if the Mason is interested in this, as I was, and not all are, it puts you on a path to try to learn and unravel what these rituals are telling you. And I believe that in doing that, if you begin to unravel them, you will find some hidden truths in there and some things that are worth investigating. And this was, again, part of my motivation for writing the first book I wrote, which was The Royal Arch of Enoch. So, you know, with me, the the journey that it put me on was it opened this door to, for me, this is just me personally speaking,
sure,
was to look at things symbolically and to interpret things symbolically and not literally. And it was through that I was able to produce my three books. So that was what I got out of it. Now, another Freemason may come on and say something completely different.
I see.
But I can only give you my perspective of it.
So there's some freedom there for you to be an individual and to kind of get out of it what's within you, right?
I think that's fair to say.
Okay, because you're saying, yeah, other people could have other experiences completely. So that's good to know. I don't think people know enough about all of this, so I just appreciate you opening up and just kind of sharing your experience, because that's the whole idea of our network. But I do think that, people have a lot of concerns about everything. And you're right. There are people that they lie to themselves. We could get into discussions all day about that. But some people, I think, rightly assume there are certain hidden hands working at work in the world. I don't think that's a crazy thing to say. Whether it's the Freemasons or not, you know, people don't really know. And you're saying that, no, it's become an organization that is mainly focused on charity and sort of personal growth. Is that right?
That's part of it, sure.
Okay. And the other part would be?
Well, I mean, do we have 24 hours to get into this? I mean, you know, we could talk about this. This is a conversation that has no beginning or has no ending. Mm. You know, it can be whatever you want it to be. For me, it taught me to just decode the world symbolically. If a person joins it and doesn't like it, guess what? They don't like it. What do you want me to do about it? If a person believes there are hidden hands all working all over the place against them and everything's a conspiracy, what the hell am I supposed to do about it? If a person wants to believe in Santa Claus and leprechauns, let them. What can I do about it? I mean, I joined Masonry because I come from a long line of Maryland Masons. And, you know, it was something that was very important to me. I went into it openly. I went into it willingly. I understood the morality that was teaching me. I understood what it was going for. I understood that it was divine spark ignition, that it was sort of what I would call a Gnostic reawakening. That once you go through the rituals, you can affect positive change. But for me, it taught me to view things symbolically, not necessarily literally. That's what Robert W. Sullivan IV mainly got out of it.
Well, that's good. So that's what matters. That's the bottom line, because I think there could be good in everything. Personally. So I like that. That's amazing. I mean, you don't need me to like that, but I don't know. I don't know that it has to be. I mean, there could be some hidden hands, but there could be good in the Masons. So I don't think it has to be all one way or the other, personally. But
everything casts a shadow.
Yeah. And even you said yourself, there were elements of it at some point where maybe it wasn't, you said, negative, but there was a cabal within the Masons, right?
Well, right. Back in the day, when Washington died, really was right. When you had this sort of royal arch, high degree cabal sort of pulling the strings behind the curtain.
In the church, I mean, there's been things in the church. And I mean, you know, it's not. Yeah, we all have this within us where, you know, there's a bit of there could be things going on. But you're right. People get a little jumpy because it has happened before in the past. So I think we have to understand that maybe as well, right?
Well, I think for me, one of the reasons for writing my book, well, at least the first one, was there was almost this two bodies of thought going on. There was the Freemasons control everything, and there's this dark, evil conspiracy going on, which is, of course, nonsense. And then there was this other body of thought that said, oh, there's no Masonic influence at all. There's none of that. And all that's conspiracy theory. That's also not true.
Right.
You know, so when you get into when Masonry, I mean, you are clearly, when you're dealing with the cultivation of the United States, the people founding this country knew what they didn't want. They didn't want a monarchy and they didn't want a Vatican-styled organization.
Sure.
So what they did was they turned to the teachings of Freemasonry and they literally crafted a nation around it. In fact, in the Royal Arch of Enoch book, I have a chapter called The United States of Freemasonry. I present that it's the world's first and really only Masonic republic. That to me is completely irrefutable. I don't look at this as a negative. I guess that's
sure.
The point I'm trying
well,
to make.
Well, it's all a progression, maybe. It's a progression. But I think all sides of things are interesting. And, it seems to be a progression. And we're all a part of it, whether we're in the Freemasons or not, or, you know, we're all a part of it one way or another. So I think, in a way, if somebody decides it's positive, it's positive. If somebody decides it's not, it's not. That's what Einstein asked. He said, is the universe a friendly place? And I think he didn't give the answer on purpose. And I, you know, I read that somewhere. I thought it was quite interesting. So we get to decide, maybe. So, and that's what I'm getting from you, Rob. So, Rob, what are the names of your books, and where can people get them?
I'm sorry, you broke up there. I didn't hear that.
Oh, sure. Sorry. What are the names of your books, and where can people get them, Rob?
Right, sure. I have three books out currently. I have a fourth book coming out in a couple months. But the three books that are out right now are titled The Royal Arch of Enoch, The Impact of Masonic Ritual, Philosophy, and Symbolism. Then there's Cinema Symbolism, A Guide to Esoteric Imagery in Popular Movies. And then there's Cinema Symbolism 2, More Esoteric Imagery in Popular Movies. Ta-da. These books are readily available on all main online retailers. You can get them on Amazon. You can get them on Barnes & Noble. You can get them on Nook. The Kindle, the Nook. It's on Books A Million. The Royal Arch book and Cinema Symbolism have been recently republished as second editions. These have been somewhat revised by me, so you're going to want to get those copies. And again, they're available on all the main online retailers, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. And you can get the ebooks as well, the Kindle, the Nook. I think they're on places like Ebook Mall, Kobo. They're all readily available. If you go to those sites and just type in the name of the book, believe me, it'll come up.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Rob. You're helping a lot of people to understand other perspectives and to see symbolism, to see sort of greater meanings. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's a really amazing thing personally. And I think people should pick up your books. And, you know, we help people to, again, find your own truth. Find your own truth. That's what we want to help you to do, and that's what Rob has done. I recommend you pick up his books. Our website is www.believe.love. Find us on YouTube at youtube.com/believeloves you and share this interview with your friends, because this is something that people, they don't want to talk about. They do. People, we just make assumptions, and it's good to just hear perspectives. You know, it's good to hear perspectives. We don't have to agree. You don't have to agree with me 100% or Rob or anybody else, but you find your own truth when you at least consider perspectives and you're willing to hear it. So I appreciate so much Rob coming on today. And thank you for joining us on Believe. I'm Nicholas Upchurch. Have a great day or night wherever you may be.